The campaign trail is grueling, often unappreciated trek, and many candidates find the constant shaking of hands, the talking of people, and hawking for votes and donations little easier with their spouses in tow. Voters are curious about the wives of the candidates because they can possibly give a glimpse into the character of future leaders. Joining us now is Anne Gerhart, a reporter for the Washington Post Style section. She covers politics. She's also the author of The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush. She's with us from Columbia, South Carolina. Thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here, Neil.
Anne, you've interviewed all of the candidates' wives except for Judy Dean, and why not her?
Well, I asked for 2 months for an interview with Judy Dean, and the campaign was unresponsive about that. They said she needed to be with her patients. I have interviewed her husband about her, mm-hmm. which I thought was kind of unusual that he characterizes himself as a feminist, fully supporting his wife working, yet spoke for her on her behalf rather than hearing from her directly.
We've called her Judy Dean, but until a couple of weeks ago, the wife of Democratic candidate, former governor of Vermont, Howard Dean, was known as Dr. Judith Steinberg until...
My name is Judy Dean.
So why the name change?
Well, she says that she uses Dr. Steinberg in her professional practice and Judy Dean in her life as a wife and mother at the schools and with the PTA and so on and so forth. I think that she has a bifurcation that actually a lot of women recognize, though. It is 2004, and most women are working outside the home, and many marriages feature people having careers and wrestling with that, as your previous guests acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the name change itself isn't so significant. What I have found so interesting is her emergence as a surrogate for him and campaigning with him in an attempt to correct the perceived problems of his anger and his tempestuousness, which I think that, you know, the media helped to create by replaying his Iowa speech over and over and over again.
Well, to be fair, it was an issue before the Iowa speech, which is one of the reasons they're replaying that so often.
Yes, of course. You are correct. And so she has emerged as someone who can soften him and make him appear to be a little bit more emotionally intimate, to have the capacity for that. And I think that voters look to the marriage because it gives them a window on their candidate's capacity to be relational. They want to be able to judge him in that way. They don't vote strictly on that basis, but they like their candidates to have humanity, and the marriage is a good place to see that.
Well, whether you call her Judy Dean or Dr. Steinberg, she, of course, has had a career of her own, and the first lady that many people will remember that this may form a precedent was Hillary Rodham Clinton, changed her name to a bit as well, and had a similar issue back in the 1992 campaign, the cookies incident.
Yes. Yes, she was not going to just be around baking cookies, although, in fact, in the end, she did. She provided her recipe to Good Housekeeping and let everybody see what that recipe was. She, too, was an attorney, and she worked throughout her husband's time as governor of Arkansas at the Rose Law Firm and gave that up when she came to the White House and quit practicing as a lawyer. Judy Dean says that were she to land in the White House, she would continue to practice medicine, which would be the first time we have had a first lady who maintained her own career.
And Shades of the West Wing. And, well, we all knew where that ended up.
That's right.
There's nothing good. Nothing good came of it. Anyway, let's talk for a minute about Senator John Kerry's wife, Teresa Hines. She seems to be a bit of a live wire. What did you think when you interviewed her?
Well, yes, she is. She's very funny. She's quite outspoken and opinionated, and she makes no apologies for that. She said she believes that women do need to be outspoken because they tell it like it is. They nurture the world. They feed the babies, and their opinions need to be taken seriously. I have noticed, however, that in the past week, as she campaigns on his behalf and is interviewed by people, she is very careful to say that as a first lady, she would see her role as being the person who kept him humble and gave him straight advice. So she is defining herself in terms of her relationship to her husband rather than saying that she has an agenda of her own that she would carry out as first lady.
And, of course, she does have an agenda of her own and a fortune to back it up.
Yes, she does. She speaks several languages. She's lived all over the world. She is one of the nation's best-known philanthropists, and I think we would continue to see her do that, but she's not talking about that right now because Americans are very conflicted about what they want from their First Lady. You know, in part of the research for my book on Laura Bush, what I learned is that when polling was done around her, she has the lowest disapproval ratings of any First Lady of all time, and that's because people want to see a woman who presents herself in a traditional fashion. Not all women, but a majority of American voters like that. They don't want the First Lady to be part of the story.
We met, of course, Hadassah Lieberman, Senator Joe Lieberman's wife, as, the campaign wife last time around. She's still somebody he talks about a great deal.
Yes, I think they have a very close marriage, and she certainly has told me that she feels her role is to support him and to advance his agenda. It can be exhausting, certainly. She is a woman who many other women will recognize in themselves. She has an aging mother. She has a teenage daughter. She has grandchildren who she tries to care for when she can. And at the same time, you know, she's getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and making a variety of campaign stops throughout the day and having a day that ends at midnight. So all of this can be exhausting, but she has committed herself to helping him in his aspirations.
In contrast to Judy Dean, who may be in some respects at least a reluctant campaign partner, the wives of General Wesley Clark and of John Edwards, Senator John Edwards, seem to be wedded to the campaign.
Well, I think Elizabeth Edwards in particular is very involved in this campaign. She helps with strategy. She helps with policy. She understands his issues and can articulate them for him. She's very warm and open, and there's no sense of her being kind of a dragon-clawed lady operating behind the scenes, but she is quite involved. Gertrude Clark came very reluctantly to this campaign. She has been a military wife for 34 years, moved 30 times in the course of that life, and really thought she was going to get her husband to go fly fishing with her in retirement. And lo and behold, here she is, crisscrossing the country. But I think that she's a fast learner, and there is certainly a lot in the life of a general's wife which teaches you protocol and diplomacy, and she's doing it pretty skillfully.
So you've talked about what we learn from the wife of a candidate, and at this point all the candidates for the Democratic nomination for president are men, so that's why we can restrict the issue.
That's right.
But at this point, are they seen as a positive addition to the campaign or a potential negative?
Well, I think that the person who initially was perceived as a potential negative was Teresa Hines Carey, because she was outspoken and she would wander off point. But the campaign has kind of reined her in a bit on that, and she seems to have been very effective on the campaign. I think that they're assets. I think that, as I said, you know, this is what voters look to. And I think there's also an instinctual understanding that the job of President of the United States is arguably the most difficult and challenging of any job in the world. You want whoever is in that job to have a strong, stable relationship behind him or her if it gets to that.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Anne Gerhart is a reporter for the Washington Post Style section. She's the author of The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush, and she joined us on the phone from Columbia, South Carolina. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.